Against All Odds is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, and you must be 21 or older. Podcast Network of the South coming to you after the Thursday night football game. We just got done on Spotify Live. Yeah, Mikey Meatballs fiddling with the knobs. We have babyface Joel Solomon producing this mess. And joining me as always, my wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, and degenerate trifecta Harry, brother Brian, Darren, the parlay kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, I got crushed again. No, well, actually, I do want to start by saying I was 1 point off with my prediction. I said 26-22. It was 27-22 final, but I had the wrong team. I had the Buccaneers to win, and it was the Ravens. Harry, congratulations. Leonard Fournette, first touchdown,
nice, Harry.
Plus 4-4 to you. At least cash something.
Did it again, and then lost everything else the rest of the night.
It is. Harry's been figuring it out. Is he the only one to pick the first touchdown right out of like 14 night games that we've done?
Yes.
Four of them.
Four of them.
Have they all been the running backs, Harry?
Yeah, they're all. He's taking the low-hanging fruit for sure.
No, I had a receiver somewhere.
Yeah.
I had a receiver somewhere.
All right. So 27-22, like I said, final score. I think it was a I don't want to say a blowout, but I feel like the Ravens handled them, parlay kid, more than that score indicates, especially in the second half. They must have had close to 200 yards rushing, which is weird because is a total about face from the first half in which Lamar Jackson attempted 30 passes and then only 8 in the second half.
Yeah.
And they were winning 27-16 and later.
Scored. They controlled the game in the second half. They wore the Tampa down with the time of possession, able to run the ball super effectively. Lamar made a few passes when he had to. And that's when the Ravens are at their best. When they can run the ball and Lamar can pick his spots. The second half Ravens look like the old Ravens offensively. Yeah. Maybe they found their game there. They just really wore them down. They look so much faster than them in the second half. And that's what happens when you kept the opponent's defense on the field for what seemed like an eternity until the end of the game where the Tampa had a drive or two. But they really wore them down. Their defense was exhausted, Tampa. And this Tampa defense does not look like the defense that we saw in the first couple games of the season.
Not against Dallas. I was talking to Mikey Meatballs. I said, I can't believe we lost to this Tampa team. This is crazy.
I know.
We lost the game to them. I don't know how they beat anyone. It does look like they'll be able to beat some of these teams again that they play.
Sure.
I don't know. At least they're not atrociously bad. Again, it's hard to tell with Brady. You and I were going back and forth, Parley Kid. I thought a lot of it was his fault. That no touch in that throw to Evans, Bri, you saw early on. They end up getting a field goal out of that instead of a touchdown. And then he's completing like 3-yard screen passes to Godwin, who's then going for 14. And Al Michaels loses his mind. He loses his mind. He's like, we've seen Brady's 45. He's looked like 55. He looks like 35 tonight. It's like, all right, well, that's also his QB rating, 35. I don't know what you're seeing here. But Bri, I don't know who we blame here. But the Bucs now 3-5, and for the first time, insane, first time in his career, 2 games under 500, Tom Brady.
Yeah, it's very weird. When we were talking on Spotify Live before, I was saying how, like, Brady's body language, it's typical for him, like, in a year where he'll have two games where he just looks like he's not into it as much. And I mean, this now has consistently been 3 or 4 games in a row. And again, even when he's warming up, there's no emotion. There's no fire. He's not pumping the team up. You could tell he's just trying to kind of grind out this season at this point in time and maybe hope there's some spark at some point. But I mean, they're lucky they're in that division right now. So, I mean, that's the only thing.
Well, and I think that's what he's going into this, the whole thing, right? He must have been like, all right, we're in the NFC South. And like I said earlier in the week, I'm like, they weren't probably going to get the bye anyway. So what are they? They're going to be a half game out or tied or whatever for first place through halfway through the season, basically. But it didn't seem to be in sync with Julio Jones. Didn't seem to be in sync with Mike Evans, although Evans went for 123 eventually. I don't know what I was watching. The other part of it, Lamar Jackson, even with 30 attempts, what did he have, Harry? He must have had like 140 yards in the first half. Trying to think what he had in the first half. And I was texting back and forth with Kevin Hench. I'm like, Lamar Jackson and Aaron Judge are not going to have contracts a year from today. It's so crazy. It might have been, I exaggerate, of course, but is that one of the worst bet on yourselves moves in a while with Lamar Jackson? I don't want to kill him too much. 27 for 38 with two touchdowns, but it's these are hard yards he's getting there, Parlay Kid.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Lamar will get paid. I don't think there's going to be any doubt about it. The Ravens, well, you take Lamar off that offense. Well, I mean, I guess Huntley could be okay, but he'll get his money. I think he rolled the dice on himself. It will pay off. It will pay off.
Yeah. What, Harry? What do you think?
I was just going to say, even an average Lamar, like last week, he had 120 yards, no touchdowns, but still. Like you said, Sal, had a decent game today, not the greatest, but
yeah
he's still going to, like Darren, you're right. It's going to, even an average game, is still better than a lot of these quarterbacks that are playing today.
So,
Matt Ryan.
I gave out the over. I lost with the Bucks. I gave out Evans over 25 and a half. He had a 51 yard reception. So that wins. Our first touchdowns lost, except for Fournette. But, Bri, what did you have? You had Tucker over 7.5 points as your prop.
Yep.
And the Ravens.
That hit late and the Ravens, but I lost the under. I felt like I should have. Yeah. I deserved that under in that game. I deserved that.
Damn. Yeah. Darren, what did you have? Did you hit on any? What was your prop?
No, I had the over, so that was, I got lucky there. And I had a parlay of Tucker over 1.5 field goals. Uh-huh. Okay. And Brady over 1.5 touchdowns. It's two games in a row. Which means I'll probably triple down on it next week to get him over 1.5 or whenever his next game is.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I go 3 out of 4, Sal, and I don't win a penny on the game.
Well, you've been there before, right? I'm looking at these. We start with these Ravens.
3 out of 4. By the way,
this the Raven big, big winning day for the Ravens because they're 5-3. They're in first in the AFC North. They get the news that Ja'Marr Chase is out from 4 to 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. And this is what let's say it's 4 weeks. This is what the Ravens' next 4 weeks looks like. At the Saints versus the Panthers, at the Jaguars versus the Broncos. Good Lord. Yeah. I mean, even if they go 2-2, they're 7-5, but they really should be 8-4, Bri.
Yeah, 8-4 seems right. I mean, I feel like every one of those games is going to be the same type of game, right? It's like 20-something, 17, right? It's like the same scores.
By the way, I shouldn't have stopped there. At Steelers and then at Browns Yeah, Watson should be back by then. But anyway, all right, so that's that game. As I mentioned, Ja'Marr Chase out 4 to 6 weeks. That stinks. Let's go over the rest of the league here. Bears, Cowboys, Parlay Kid, 9.5, 42.5. Not that this is in the bag, PK, but I'm glad the Bears game, the game of the year, their Super Bowl took place Monday night. I mean, they really stomped out the Patriots. And now we're not going to look past them, at least, right? Dan Quinn and defense won't take this one lightly.
No, not at all, Sal. I think, you know, the Cowboys got a little scare from the Lions last week, and the Bears look good. The Cowboys can't sleep on them. I think the one thing with the Cowboys defense is they fly around, and I don't think quarterbacks can really run on them like they might do it on some other teams, and Cowboys will lock off their receivers. So, they could stop Fields from gaining yards with his legs. They could potentially win this game in a pretty big fashion. I'll let Harry talk a little bit more about it.
Well, they've had mixed success playing these running quarterbacks, right? Anytime you have a running quarterback like Fields, it could be an adventure. But 79 versus Daniel Jones, we won that. And then they gave up 27 versus Jalen Hurts on the ground. And we lost that. It's weird. But short week for the Bears. Like I said, that was their Super Bowl, knocking off Belichick in the George Halas game in prime time in their backyard. But overall, that Bears offense outside of Fields doesn't scare me, and our defense should scare the hell out of them. So second in points allowed. Dak should improve on his pedestrian game last week. Cowboys 11-1 against the spread versus a team with a losing record. Harry, I'm saying 28-13. We go 6-2 into the bye, and we'll take it. You like that on? That's barely under.
But I'll take it. I do like the under at 42.5. Dallas is 29th, the overall. I know not a lot of Dak here, but 29th in total yards this season. But he was rusty a lot of the game against Detroit. Really fortunate. Detroit secondary can't catch, probably dropped two or three picks. But the defense is unbelievable, as I mentioned before in past podcasts. I mean, this is the best defense Dallas I've seen probably ever. Second in points against, first in sacks with 29, average a pick a game. And you mentioned, Sal, that game on Monday. That was like an anomaly. I mean, I've never seen the Bears look so good on offense, but I think that's just one game against the Patriots who couldn't stop the run. Dallas will stop the run. Micah Parsons, just focus. He's the guy to spy Justin Fields. Don't get him to the corners because he'll be able to, he's fast enough to shut it off. Chicago play, by the way, also defense, very good. Roquan Smith, amazing. He's averaging 11 tackles a game, two picks, 2.5 sacks this year. Dallas doesn't get much against the Chicago defense either, which I think is the top five defense. I'm going under 42.5. I don't think this reaches 35.
Last time I saw Roquan Smith, he was crying yes, right there at a podium, right? Because of the big trade. They get the big win and then they trade. Quinn. They trade him and Roquan Smith is crying there. And all right, let's see what happens here between these two. I'm going to go, over under, I was looking at this. This is pretty spectacular, Parley Kid. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but let's say we're 6-2. Whatever it is. We're 5-2 right now. Pretty good that we were 10.5 to start the year was on Caesars, was our over under. Right now it's 11.5. We couldn't ask for more than this, right? We went up with our backup in there for 75% of the games more.
Yeah, that's a good sign for these Cowboys, Sal.
Yeah.
And the key is to take care of the teams that you should take care of, like the Bears. So
right.
Especially before bye week. I like what they've done so far. I like what they've done. Really, a lot of it's on the defensive side. I think we both actually had them under 10.5 this year.
I think we both had them at 10 and 7. The fact that they're 11.5 now after their starting quarterback goes out.
You gotta like that. I mean, because they should be sitting 6-2 here, on pace for actually 12 wins on the season.
All right,
so
we'll have to refigure all this math after they lose to the Bears and go 5-3. But anyway, for now it's good. Giants Seahawks. Probably the most intriguing matchup of the day, right? The best matchup of the day. I don't know if it's going to be the best game of the day. Our own Eddie Spaghetti is going to be in attendance. He also said he cautioned the Seahawks faithful on extra points today. He says he's going to be with 7 other Giants fans. I said, you're going to get mouthy and you get popped in that mouth. He's like, no, I'm going to be with 7 other Giants fans. I was like, well, you're not going to be with 40,000 other Giants fans. Be careful. But anyway, he's saying, he said he's not with us now, but he said, they should not F with him because he's going to have a, right, Michael? Didn't he say that? He's going to have a crew with him, not to F with him. Can you say something like that?
Yeah, something along those lines.
Yeah.
You don't mess with Staten Island boys.
The Murphy posse.
No way.
Well, but then we did some digging. We found out a lot of the guys he's with are also like House of Dragons book aficionados. So I don't know how afraid everyone should be. I'm not sure.
Yeah, forget that.
So who knows? So take your swings if you have to, Eddie Spaghetti. Giants, again, an underdog at Seattle, 3-44.5. Bry, this Giants team, this is no incredible news, but 5-0 straight up as underdogs. Astounding. Really five good. Is a ton. Five, if you have five in a year, that's a ton. And they're not even halfway through there, and they're not done being underdogs here. This could be number 6. I'm going Seattle, though. Number 5 in points per game at 26. Last 4 weeks, they had 37, 19, 32, and 48. A lot of it's due to Geno Smith and rookie Kenneth Walker, 350 yards and 4 touchdowns in the last 3 games. Pete Carroll, 15-7 against the spread at home when Russell Wilson is not the starting quarterback.
Whoa.
When he's not the starting quarterback, and he's not going to be the starting quarterback, I'm almost positive of it on Sunday. 23-17, I'm going Seahawks. I'll probably be made a fool of again, Bri, but feels like anyone you pick against here is a dumb
move. Yeah, I mean, look, the Seahawks, I will say, I think -3 is the right spread for this game. I thought the Jaguars game was stupid with the -3, but I think we're missing the point right now. Like, I think to be successful, we need to bet the NFC East, right? The Giants and the NFC East against the spread. That's the way, right? That's just the way to go right now. It's just making money. It's hard to go against it, right? you know, I figure, you know, they continue to be about 3-point underdogs. Somehow I feel they continue to pull out these games. I still don't think they're very good, but mm-hmm. they found a way to utilize Jones and Barkley enough. They're just so well coached. They believe in each other, you know, and this game's going to have a little weather element. So I think it's going to be a close, tough game back and forth. But I think I could see the same thing happening again in this game where the Giants just force maybe a key turnover late take the lead. So I'm happy to take the Giants getting three again.
All right. I'm actually excited about watching this one.
Yeah.
I'm not excited about being there with spaghetti. It's supposed to rain and whatever. It's going to be loud. But I think Eddie said, like, the, what did he say, Babyface? You were there about the 12th man.
Well, he definitely said the 12th man was overrated. Something like the Giants were going to march into Seattle like the Lannisters marched into King's Landing.
Oh, wow. And, yeah.
And
see
take
what
back
I mean?
The throne. Yeah.
He's all over these books. He did almost reach out and smack one Marty Weiss in the face today. I forgot what Martin said about the Giants, but he didn't like it. He said, he's like, what did he say? I'm wincing at you. I forgot what he said. It wasn't pretty. I almost had to separate them. We can't do podcasts in studios anymore.
Wow.
Or people
what's the,
need to...
What's the line on those two guys? Who's
well,
Eddie
if you're
minus...
Gonna get Eddie, you're going to talk bad about any of Eddie's teams. You're going to get what you deserve, I guess. There's no playing around with Eddie. He gets very upset with them. Yeah. No, Martin wanted no part of it. All right. Whoa. So that's...
Eddie,
that's
the silent killer.
Not so silent. He gets some. He gets mad. All right. Raiders at Saints. Raiders are favored by 1.5, 49. I'm not positive who's going to win. I know the big loser of this game is me because I picked both these teams to take their division, and it's not looking good. Even though I still think the Raiders are decent and a playoff team, and the Saints are now a game out of the playoffs too, but you can't be excited about any of the Andy Dalton starts, parlay kid. I just... You know, we talked about it last week. There's a lot of nice underneath throws, right? And then one of them is going to get tipped to the fourth string receiver, which is all they have when Thomas and Landry don't play, you know, and Olave is in and out of the lineup. And it's going to drop into a defender's arms. That's exactly what we saw against Arizona. Josh Jacobs has been running the ball better than anybody, and they're the third best in rushing yards allowed. I don't see how they're going to move the ball too much to say. I don't see a lot of points from the Saints. And their defense, not as good as I thought. Only one pick this year. Yeah. Could be a big game for Derek Carr in that Superdome. Saints 2-5 against the spread in their last 7 overall. I like the Raiders. I like Brother Bri's Raiders to prevail 30-20, parlay kid.
Yeah, you have to like the Raiders in this game, Sal. And I think the one thing a lot of people thought about the Saints is that they would have a very good defense this year, but they are 31st in points allowed. They're average letting up 28.6 points a game, while the Raiders are third in scoring at 27.2 points a game. So I think that certainly favors the Raiders. The Raiders have gone 3 straight games, and you said the Saints don't get turnovers. The Raiders, for the third time in their history, have not turned the ball over in 3 straight games. Jacobs has been phenomenal here over the last few games. The Saints, just like you said, I mean, Dalton versus Carr, I'm taking Carr here in this matchup. Just really because the Saints defense has really let their team down this year. I know on the offensive side, they've had injuries. Their defense has really needed to step up. It was supposed to be, I thought, the strength of their team. Hasn't happened. The Raiders are going to score there down in Saints land. Raiders win this game, Sal, 31-20. I'm going with the Raiders.
Wow, you're a point different from me. Look at that. Bri, why is, I mean, you know, we talk about spreads. It doesn't seem to matter what anyone's record is. The Giants were an underdog to the Jags last week, even though they had 5 wins at the time. Why aren't the Raiders a 3-point favorite here?
You think they should be a 3-point favorite?
Sure.
I don't know. Why not? I think this is fair. I think this is fair. I mean, the one thing I'll say about last week is, again, I mean, the Raiders pulled offensively, looked very good in that second half. Defensively, for 2/3 of that game, we were terrible. I mean, Davis Mills was throwing the ball all over us. I mean, so, you know, I like the Raiders too this weekend.
Andy Dalton is no Davis Mills.
No,
let's just get that straight.
I know. I like the Raiders this weekend, but again, I'm not surprised that this is. I mean, I actually thought it was going to be a pick'em.
Bri, well, what Darren just said too. Should we pound Jacobs' props this weekend?
I think you have to until he stops.
He's the only running back in the league that's going to go over his rush total. And Kenneth Walker, if you get it, I think somewhere in there. All right, Rams 49ers, Harry. This is another one. I thought the spread was off last week when I guessed it with Simmons. 49ers are a 1.5-point favorite at the Rams. 42.5 is the over-under. I know they've had trouble getting their act together, the Rams. I know Kyle Shanahan is 8-3 straight up and against the spread in the regular season versus McVay. But McVay, off a bye, he responds to the number after a break. They're 11-4-1, the Rams, when in the last 16 following a bye week. I think they were on their way to getting it together. We saw Allen Robinson come to life a little bit. He had almost a half a dozen catches. I think he had 5 catches and a touchdown. I think they'll be able to run the ball. I still see the Niners, same guys, Greenlaw, Ward, Armstead, still rehabbing. They may not play. I eventually, this 49ers team is going to be good. If you had told me, like, in the beginning of the year, instead of Lance and Mitchell, it's Jimmy G and McCaffrey, I'm like, oh my God, this is a world difference. But it doesn't seem to be. I don't think it will be for a couple of weeks, at least until they get their big guns back on defense. I'm going 29-20 and the Rams. Harry, you like the Rams also?
Yeah, the Rams have not beat San Francisco in a regular season game since December 30th, 2018. With that said, I'm taking the Rams and McVay as a small dog. Sally, you mentioned McVay and the Rams coming off a bye. San Francisco, you also mentioned the injuries. The injuries are loading up. You mentioned Arb said he's missed some time. Emmanuel Mosley 2 weeks ago out for pretty much the season. And that's hurt them defensively. 28 points they gave up against Atlanta. 44 versus Kansas City. Couldn't stop them at all. Mentioned Rams coming off a bye. It should have worked on their offensive issues. I think maybe the offense will be a little bit better, especially in terms of running the ball here. They need to get that going. Stafford will be okay. Do a little bit of running, take the pressure off Stafford. I think the Rams get there this time in the regular season.
All right. Yeah, I was going to move to the next game, but you know, Megan Connolly said, she said, I listened against the odds the other day. Were you guys playing a joke on Harry? Nobody commented on any of his picks. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that. She's like, I swear, I thought that was a practical joke. I said, no. So, we have to make sure we comment because Megan 5-1, by the way, on her mega locks on Thursday. So nice. Good job by her.
Take notes, Harry.
Yep.
All right. So that counts as a comment on Harry, even though it was about Megan for your pick, Harry. Mm-hmm. Pats and Jets, Patriots 2.5-point favorite. God, I love this game way more than I should, Brian.
Really?
2.5 and 40. I'm taking the Patriots. That Breece Hall injury is big. That Patriots loss was also very big. But listen to this. New England, 7-0 against the spread in their last 7 following a double-digit home loss. 7-0, big number. I don't expect the defense to lay an egg. Yeah. Again, I feel like we'll see Mac Jones settle into a Mac Jones-ish type of game, which will be enough to beat the Jets. I mean, the Patriots own them 12-0 straight ups. And so I know these are all Brady years, 8-4 against the spread, 21-16 Patriots. Bri, what do you like?
Yeah, it's funny. At first I was leaning towards the Jets, but then the more I thought about it, the more it's like, yeah, it's a fishy line. I think you could throw away that Pats game against the Bears. And to your point, obviously they're resilient. They bounce back after games like this. It just, you know, I'm bummed for the Jets about this Breece Hall injury, but I think these injuries are eventually going to catch up to the Jets, right? There's been a ton for them so far between their line. So going back to last year, look, I'm a Wilson guy. I've liked him, but these were the two games he was terrible against the Patriots last year. I don't know if you're remembering those two blowout losses, right? Mm-hmm. How bad he was. It's not going to be like that in terms of that many turnovers, but I do think the Pats are going to shut down that offense and they're going to get back to ball control, running a lot, getting Mac Jones in the flow. So yeah, I'm going to go with the Pats too. And I do like this one a lot. The more I thought about it,
it'll just be weird if it's through week 8, Belichick done, Brady done, Rodgers done. Won't it be? I'm not saying Brady's done because I know the division and all that, but that's what we're staring at here this basically pick'em game. I know they're given 2.5. By the way, guys, I was looking at some of the over-under wins. Speaking of the Packers, 8.5, Jets 8.5. How crazy is that?
Wow.
They're both 8.5. And I wouldn't even bet either one. I don't know. I don't even know what I'd bet Jets under out of the four options there to go over under on each. I think I would go the under, but I haven't looked at the schedule. In my mind, I think they're an 8-9 team at best. But for God's sakes, they have five already, and this would be six if they win. I don't know. It's just nuts that they're that close. All right. Cardinals, Vikings. Vikes 3.5 point favorite. 49 is the over under. Again, I was looking at those, you know, over under and playoff odds. Cards, and I don't like the Cardinals. I was early on the Cards are average or below average train, but minus 410 to not make the playoffs, that's a high number all of a sudden. And it's because of our Cowboys parlay, kid. Really, because you have to count two teams in from the NFC, NFC East.
Might be looking like three teams you got to count
in. Yeah, might be three. Both teams with time off. The Vikes had a bye. Cardinals off the Thursday game, so they have 10 games. DeAndre Hopkins' return is pretty big, bigger than I thought. I mean, I knew he's a superstar, but he got right back in there, 14 targets, 10 over 100 yards receiving. Vikings allow the most passing yards per attempt. Arizona's going to move the ball. Eno Benjamin, Harry, ASU. It's been a spark plug for them lately.
Yep. Yeah.
I just don't like, I don't know. I don't like either team, but the Vikes are 1-4 against the spread in the last 5-2-8 against the spread versus a team with a losing record. They're probably going to win another dumb game like 27-26 and not cover. And then Harry's going to brag about what's considered a good football team in 2022. But I'll take the Cards and the points, parlay kid. You're going Vikings.
Yeah, you know, and I don't really, again, I'm not in love with either team here. And I'll give you a little Harry stat here, which I don't like this type of stat, but the Vikings are 10-0 against the Cardinals since at home since 1990. I know that means nothing because, that's going back 32 years there. So 8 of those games probably mean absolutely zilch.
Harry, shut up.
To these teams. You know, we'll say that. We'll just tell you that. The Vikings, you know, it's one of the longest current streaks in the NFL in terms of owning a team. I also like the fact that the Vikings give up 19.7 points a game compared to the Cardinals, 25.1 points a game. Basically, a 6-point difference there. Vikings play better defense than the Cards. Hopkins helps coming back. Vikings off a bye week. I know the Cardinals have had some time off as well due to the fact that they haven't played since a Thursday ago. I just think the Vikings are a better team here. Cousins, somebody said it the other day, Cousins in a 1 o'clock game, he's money. That's where he shines. And I think he does it again here. And Vikings win this game fairly easily, Sal.
Yeah, if there's an eclipse, he might be in a little bit of trouble and the roof is open. But I think you're right. I do like it to go over. There are some holes in that Cardinals secondary a little bit. So I know I have it at 53, 27-26, but maybe the over's the better play of the two. All right. Well, we got you again here, Parley Kid, right? Packers and Bills, 11-47.5, 234 consecutive starts without being a double-digit underdog. I mean, it's just it gets more and more embarrassing for Brady and Rodgers as these numbers come out. And now I mean, that's from the start of a quarter of his career. That's really crazy. Now Rodgers 11-point underdog. They are 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 as an underdog. And I'm taking him because in my mind, he's smart enough to right the ship. And he came out and said early in the week, we're going to simplify the offense and minimize reps for those who keep screwing up. And I'm watching these games and it seems like everybody's screwing up, but he must in his head have figured out who is really the culprit here to hold him back the offense. So they all seem about the same to me, but he knows who he's comfortable with. I'm calling for an Aaron Rodgers backdoor cover, which I'm not sure those words have ever been uttered before. 33-26 Bills Packs cover, though. What do you think, Parley Kid?
No, we've discussed, we've done this year before where we say, we think somebody's going to give the Bills a tough game, and then we come out of it going, what were we thinking? Like, the Bills are just too good. And I think that's the case here. Actually, no, it's funny. Again, another meaningless stat, but the Packers have never won in Buffalo in their entire existence. So
Go to that game? We went to Packers-Bills, didn't we? That was Packers-Bills. I'm almost positive.
Was it Packers-Bills?
Yeah. Harry, well, you weren't there.
I wasn't there.
Were you living in Vegas?
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask our friend Larry. I really think it was Packers Bills.
I think you're right, Sal. Don Majkowski, was he quarterbacking back then? By the way.
Yeah, we'll get you back. Yeah, is that 1998?
No, that was Sal. That was 1990. You were gone in 1998, school. Sal. You were gone.
Right. 1998, so 96? You were gone. Yeah,
it was 90. I'm going to say 94, Sal. Maybe 94, 95.
Huh. 94. Harry, when were you in Vegas?
What, we 94.
He left then.
I left in June of 94.
November 20, 1994, the Packers played the Bills, and the Bills won 29-20.
There we go.
That was it. And they came back, right?
Was it Majkowski?
Oh, right. Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, Jim Kelly. I'm looking. It was Favre, Sterling Sharp, caught a touchdown.
Wow.
Is this definitely it?
Yeah, we were. That was the game.
That was a good game.
Yeah, but I don't know, Paulie guy. I think they came back. I remember you making the choke sign, and we were rooting for the Bills because everybody was rooting for the Bills. So that would mean like the Packers were up. Let me see. All right. Well, anyway, keep going. I'm sorry. I'll find this game.
Well, no, I just look, Sal, keeping it simple with the Bills. There's nothing about the Packers that I've been impressed with. They can't score. Bills are too explosive to where this game could possibly be a blowout. I know the Packers are saying all the right things, and Rodgers is saying all the right things, and he could say those things, but he doesn't have the talent around him. It's not there yet. Maybe these young guys will eventually come around. Their running game, Dylan Jones. I mean, I don't know. They're in the lineup. They're out of the lineup. There's no consistency with those guys there. Their defense has been, I guess, adequate, but it won't be enough to beat this Bills team. I think this Bills team pulls away in the second half. I think Rodgers is going to end up still dinking and dunking the ball. The Bills will put pressure on them. They're going to force a few turnovers. Bills win this game 34-17. That's my take, right, Sal.
Here's another Harry stat. Since 2021, home favorites versus non-division opponents on Sunday Night Football are 1-9 against the spread. Bills don't have a chance.
Wow.
That is only a year old, it doesn't involve these teams, but it is interesting.
The Bills are second in points scored per game at 29.3 points a game and first in points allowed at 13.5 points a game.
Oh, listen, I'm fully prepared to be embarrassed. You
know, don't think the Packers have it in them to get it done.
I'm with you. These underdogs, though, just in general, the underdogs, and the underdogs by three or more. Excellent.
All these numbers, Darren, you could be a heck of a math teacher. Think about that.
Yeah, really.
Well, I'm just reading numbers, Harry. I'm just reading them. I'm not adding them up. Dividing them.
Well, you just said the last one, six point difference when you said 25 and 19. So you could be a math teacher, dude.
I was a little off on that. It wasn't a full 6 points. It was more like 5.7 points or something like that.
Hold on. Underdogs of over a field goal. This is from Action Network, I think. 44-22 against the spread. A field goal. Not 7-10. Then there's the number. There's a big number when it's like 7 or more points. And those teams win outright. All right. Well, whatever. I mean, but again, the Bills could crush here.
And if I could mention one thing, Harry, I was good. And I guarantee you, Sal was also very good at this. When they would give you those sheets, those multiplication sheets, Sal, the basic multiplication, and you had like a minute to complete.
Zip through it?
Zip it. Yeah. Sal, you were probably a master at that, right?
I think that was pretty good. You were good, too? I mean, I was very good at the basic math.
Because you were doing batting averages all the time. That's what I mean.
To the 10,000 that's like seven or eight years old.
Right, right. So true.
I look at my eight-year-old, and he disgusts me. I was like, why aren't you figuring out batting averages? Put that PlayStation down, whatever you're doing. All right, let's take a quick break. I want to talk about Caesars. Your first bet with Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, it's on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code CZRFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it all back as a free bet. That first bet also gives you 1,000 tier credits and 1,000 reward credits, putting you closer to the types of perks only Caesars can offer: free stays, game tickets, experiences, and more.
You must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ontario, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Ohio, and Utah, and other states where prohibited. Yes, you have to know when to stop before you start. If you have a gambling problem in Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Virginia, West Virginia, or Pennsylvania, or if you know someone who has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in Maryland, visit MarylandGamblingMDGamblingHelp.org, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY, or text HOPENY. That's 467-369. Or text CONNEX to 247-247. Tennessee, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789.
All right, we will be right back to talk college football. Hey, I gave out two winners. It's a miracle last week.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, here we go. Syracuse, Notre Dame. Harry, you keep telling us to do these Syracuse games, and then you don't claim it. When I ask, all right, who wants to review it? Yeah. You don't care. You're like, Syracuse at home, the Carrier Dome, JMA Wireless Dome.
I took it against Clemson.
What? You did what?
Clemson. I took the game against
Clemson. No, you took the under. Yeah, okay. So what'd you take,
though? Yeah, I
took the under. Pick the team already. This is your team. Pick your team.
I don't like it as a problem.
Yeah, go ahead.
I figured out a way because – we are inundated with Harry Syracuse. We keep reminding him he didn't go there. So I figured a word we should call him. Harry is a Syracuse alumni.
All right.
He's not an alumni. He's an alumni of Syracuse.
I guarantee, Harry, you've told people you've gone to Syracuse.
No. Like,
people that we don't know that we would never find out. I bet.
Yeah.
Nope.
I don't know. I mean, you certainly did your share of lying this week. Why would we stick you to this?
I say Stony Brook.
But that's like, at least Brian went to Stony Brook. Like, it's like these guys saying, I don't know, like St. John's every
can
day.
Can I have St. John's? I'm from upstate New York. We have no team. I wasn't a Bills fan. Can I root for Syracuse?
It's 40 minutes away if it's not snowing, which means it's 3 hours away all the time.
Oh, come on.
That's what it is. It's not that close.
Harry, why didn't you go there, Harry? You couldn't get into it?
Oh, definitely not.
No way.
Definitely not. No. You couldn't either.
No.
Syracuse?
I don't know. I didn't try. Even know why I didn't try.
Tuition's crazy there, Harry.
What's up?
Yeah. 2-48. 2-48 versus Notre Dame. Fun game at home.
Wow.
They're number 16. They have 6 wins and 7 games against the spread. Garrett Schrader's been good enough. Didn't get them moving against Clemson at all, but that is a tough defense. They forced turnovers. They forced 4 against Clemson. They allow 15 points a game. They're going to have a little trouble, I think, against Notre Dame's run game. They have like a 3-headed attack. We don't even have Spaghetti has given up on this team. And since they lost to Marshall, he doesn't even care.
I know.
But they are Notre Dame 1-4 against spread in their last 5 non-conference games. Syracuse 9-2 against the number in their last 11 home games. 27-19, the orange win. Harry won't say it. I'm saying it. Brother Bry's saying it too.
Yeah, I'm going to go Cuse. Usually I'm a Notre Dame guy when I'm picking these games. But Harry wants no part of it. Yeah. Eddie's all over the Orangemen too.
Eddie's not here. We could
I know. We could pick against him. I mean, Megan's still upset that Eddie doesn't
care
about
about
Notre Dame right now. But defensively, look, the Orange have been really good, and Notre Dame's offense hasn't been good except for that UNC game. I'm not really counting the UNLV game. And now we know, right? The BYU win wasn't a very good win. I don't trust Marcus Freeman on the road in a hostile environment. It's going to be tough to play in Syracuse. So I'm going to say, you know, give me Dino Babers in a relatively close game. Yeah, I don't know why, Harry. And same with the next game. He refuses to take the two teams, the two orange teams that he
does. Yeah, really? Yeah. Well, who did they have 2 weeks ago before Clemson, Harry?
Wagner?
No.
NC State.
Yeah. So this is like their third big one in a row, right? That is the one thing I worry about a little bit. It's a little bit of a letdown, but I don't think so. I think they hang on. All right, Tennessee, as Bri alluded to, the other orange team, 12-point favorite over Kentucky, 61 is the over-under. Will Levis against Hendon Hooker. Might be two pros you're looking at in a couple of years. Going to be a fun one. Speaking of looking ahead or looking behind, there is a chance the Vols are looking ahead to Georgia next week where they're about a 10-point underdog already. But I thought about it, and then I looked, and they cannot help but to score. They really can't. 52, 40, and 38 against ranked SEC opponents, Alabama, LSU, and Florida. I think they're good. Kentucky's going to score too. I know, Harry, you're going to go with the over, but Volunteers are ranked next to last in the nation against the pass, 330 yards a game. So they're going to get theirs. But if they were smart, they would run the ball with Rodriguez. That's the way they're going to do it. He has over 400 yards in three games. I'm still going Tennessee. I know it sounds like I'm touting Kentucky here. Again, too many points, 6-1 against the spread in the last seven, 3-1 against the number as a double-digit favorite. I am taking the Volunteers. Harry, you like the over 60.
Yeah, look, I am a wee bit worried about a letdown here in this spot. That's why I don't like laying the points here. But if it's a close game, that's okay for Tennessee heading into next week, I think, against Georgia. But I am going to go with the over 61 through seven games. This team is averaging, Tennessee, averaging 50 points per game. Hooker's been great. 21 total touchdowns. Tremendous 1-2 combo running back with Jalen Wright and Jabari Small. 13 total touchdowns, and wide receiver Jalen Hyatt. Unbelievable numbers. 12 touchdowns already, averaging 20 yards a catch. Nobody can stop him. And for Kentucky, as you mentioned, running back Chris Rodriguez led the SEC in rushing last year. He's averaging almost 6 yards a carry. Levis will be an NFL player next season. He's completed 74% or more in three of his last four games. That's tremendous for college ball. The Wildcats themselves have scored 31 or more in three of the last four. Roll it up in Rocky Top, over 61.
Whoa, I like that. I like it 40 to 26, so right in there. That's how I have it, 66. Can I tell you something, Johnny Knoxville? I don't want to betray him because he was doing this in public because I was on a hidden camera shoot with him last week. He has bet Tennessee every single week. Actually, he bet against them the week they didn't cover, and he's been doubling up and doubling up, and he's got thousands and thousands of dollars here, and I think he's doubling up against, I don't know just what he's going to do. If he's going to take Tennessee,
he's just taking
the spread. No, just by the spread. Yeah, okay. So,
interesting. I don't know.
And he was screaming at Tennessee Martin. He was watching on his phone, screaming at that game as we're shooting in camera bit. But anyway, all right, good luck to Knoxville and good luck to Tennessee. I have him 40 to 26. Let's recap our baseball picks for everyone. We went over this Tuesday and I believe Wednesday. Astros are minus 190. The take back is the Phillies plus 170. For the series, I'm taking the Astros minus a game and a half at plus 120. That means they could sweep. They can win 4-1 or 4-2. Parlay Kid, Harry, and Bri, you are taking the Phillies. MVPs, I got Bregman. Piacenti and I are splitting that bet. Harry, you have Harper. Parlay Kid has Schwarber. And Brian, you have Hoskins. These are weird names to say, right? Yeah. Schwarber, Hoskins, Bregman. Anyway, those are our MVPs. Do we have anything to add? I don't know. It's been kind of no like buildup, right? Nothing stupid happened. Nobody called anybody out.
No, they need this series to be over already. Play this thing.
I know.
Play this thing. Come on.
Too much.
I have 10-1 on the Astros, and I'm not hedging. So everyone should take the Phillies.
I'm still surprised you got 10-1 at that point. Sal. We knew, right? Yeah. I mean, we knew the Astros were a top
Sal,
two.
Not
I mean,
even, not even a little. Gonna get maybe for a nickel on plus 1.5 games.
No. No, I don't care about that.
Hit both.
No, I like the losing money train. It's fun. it's real. I don't know. Just keep it nailing them. Yeah, it was 10-1, Brian, because remember, Dodgers are always like plus 340 or something stupid.
It's great. Still great odds. Straight outs.
But I don't know. And so what are the storylines here, Parlay Kid? It's got to be, you know, Dusty Baker has to win one. Everybody still hates the Astros, but they're kind of rooting for Dusty. And it's the hot team against the best team, right?
I think that's right. You nailed it, Sal. That's the kind of the storyline. The best team versus the hot team.
Also,
Bryce Harper adds some dynamics to it and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's the best way to put it, Sal.
All right.
Best team versus hot team. I mean,
it's tough. As much as I like the Astros, it's hard for me to see them getting out of Houston 2-0. Yeah. Right? Piacenti's going to game two, but you're going against Nola. You're going against Wheeler.
How far into November is this going, though? I mean, I get it, right? They started the season later this year, right? They got off to a little late start.
But baseball's
not made to be played in November.
If they can't wrap it up by Halloween, whoever's ahead should be in the chair. I think that should be the rule right there.
I was going to say, for a World Series and the way the Phillies are playing and playing in such a small park at Minute Maid, and they've been hitting homers like crazy. You're getting plus. I know Houston hasn't lost, but plus 170 for the series on a team. That's tremendous value for the World Series.
All right, that is. It kind of is at this point.
At this point,
what are the Phillies nine? Are they nine and two?
Seven of the wins have been by two or more.
Right. All right. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll go into Sharp Tank, and then we'll call it a week. All right, here we go, Sharp Tank. Brother Bri, Parlay Kid, Harry, you give me a pick. I'm going to jump on one. I'm going to not buy it from you, but I'll bet it with you. Let's start with you, Bri. I may have to cross you off right away. Why are you doing this? Oklahoma State.
That's my kryptonite. You know, it's funny. They were my kryptonite, too. I feel like I've had a good little run with them this year. I live bet them last week against Texas at 3-1. 3-1 came back and won for me. So that was nice. So I liked them again. Look, Sanders, the thing was last week, they were a pretty big underdog because Sanders wasn't healthy. His shoulder was kind of banged up, but he should be a little bit healthier. I thought K-State was a little bit exposed in that game in the second half against TCU last week. They kind of got beat up in that second half. They gave up a lot of rushing yards on the ground. But the thing is, look, Oklahoma State has been great in conference play against the spread. And they are also 7-0 against the spread in their last seven road games. I'm surprised they're actually a slight underdog here. So I know you won't like it, but I'm starting to back the Cowboys here. I'm getting a little bit luckier with the Cowboys right now.
I mean, it was 2 weeks ago. They killed me. They were up.
The TCU game, but they covered still. They covered.
I know they covered. I jumped on it late and bet them just to win.
Don't live
and,
bet
right.
Don't
they
live.
Were winning 40-26 and they lost 43-40. Disgusting. Yep. All right, that's
plus,
a pass.
Plus one and a half.
Briar, I wish you luck, but
Thank
you're
you.
On your own there. I can't do that.
That's all right.
In fact, I'm looking at these. I know which one I'm taking already. Okay. Harry, tell me yours.
I'm going to take a.
It's not yours, Harry. Little spoiler.
I figured it would. Yeah. Listen, I'm going to take a parlay, not a minus 150 parlay. This parlay pays plus 201. Four-team money line parlay in the NFL. Falcons minus 280 against Carolina. Falcons can score. Meanwhile, I think Carolina let down after last week, given that they're all against Tampa Bay. Nothing left in the tank here. Eagles minus 550 against babyface Steelers. Philly second in the NFL in picks. And what do the Steelers do? Throw picks. Sorry, Joe. I'm going to take the Vikings minus 200 against Arizona. Payback from last year when Minnesota missed like a 28-yarder. They should have beat Arizona. They get it done coming off a bye week. And the Bills minus 550 against the Packers. Aaron Rodgers, continue to take your medicine. No good for the Packers. Awful offense. Can't catch the ball.
What?
Minus 550 Buffalo. So that pays plus 201.
What do you know about his medicine?
He takes his medicine because he's having to eat everything right now. Taking a lot of heat.
Oh,
so,
I see.
Plus 201.
Okay. All
Falcons,
right.
Eagles, Vikings,
well,
Bills.
I like two of those teams. We're going to hear about them in a second. I don't like.
Well, you don't like it.
Is this where we are? No, is this really where we are with the Falcons minus 280? That's where we are in the season. That should be the poster for what's going on with this stupid.
They can score.
I don't trust that. I get it. I know they're better probably than the Panthers most weeks, but I don't want to sweat that out. Marcus Mariota down four with the ball late in the fourth quarter. Parlay Kid, I knew you were going to go with this.
Yeah. Well,
since look, I read the line Sunday night.
Yeah. And I like it. Because this is what I call like my Dayton teaser. Because, you know, when I first started gambling through you, I felt like I would bet $20 on this a week or something like that. And I think I was up like 240 my first year. I thought that was like the greatest thing in the world because I felt like I would, it was like Dallas, Washington, and 49ers. I could go with almost every week. And it seemed like they hit like all the time. So I'm taking that kind of this week in terms of I got three home teams on a three-team teaser. So you're adding 10 points to the spread here, Sal. So we got the Cowboys at home against the Bears. So they're getting a half a point. Cowboys just need to win, right? Mm-hmm. I think we'd be super disappointed when we talked about the game already. So that's fine.
Yeah.
I got the Eagles. They are, I think they're minus 11 at Steelers. So we're taking that. They are now minus one at home again against Pittsburgh. The Eagles are rolling. They're significantly better team than Pittsburgh. And the Bills, adding 10 to them. It's down to minus 11 right now as we speak. So the Bills are minus one against the Packers. Sal, how much should we put on this? How much?
What do you? So this is my. I just want to. I mean, all of it. You said Dayton, or the every
it's
house in Dayton.
You should Dayton. Just, every house this in the it. Ghetto in Dayton. Well, we call it the ghetto. Forget That's what it. They used to
go
call
to,
it.
Go, no, yeah. go to that. Go to the higher class neighborhood. Doesn't matter at this point. So what? The three team teaser. Let's just distinguish from the money line parlay. You're given a point with that. The Bills, right? Or two? What is it? So
just a
if
point.
You get
now.
Screwed. Or you're given a point, right? And then Cowboys, you're getting. And what was the other one? Philly. You are.
A point.
Get it, a point. All right. So if it lands on a point, that sucks, right?
But
you're getting 120 for that, minus 120 for those three.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it is? Three team teaser. If you take the money line, it's minus 143. So it is worth it if you could sweat out that point and not worry about that. So that's the difference. That's good. I'm with you. We used to play these all the time.
Mm.
Parlay Kid was very lucky. 1992. Simmons and I talked about as we were discussing how we're going to assemble all our money that we lost, how we're going to get it to one another. We were talking in 2004, we hit 11 three-team teasers in a row. And then I think week 14 was that Brady lost in Miami on that Monday night. You remember that? That was like a big deal that he won, that he lost that. And then, those were the days. Now you can't tell. Now it's like, freaking Marcus Mariota is minus 280. That's the teaser you got to take. So anyway, I'm with you, Paul. Like
nice.
Eagles, Bills, Cowboys teaser. That's how you do it, Harry.
So
don't add the Falcons. Keep your Vikings out of there.
Yeah, maybe.
You don't need the 2-1. All right,
guys. I know we didn't touch upon it. I totally forgot about it. Maybe we have to ask Michael. Michael, thoughts on Jake Paul, Anderson Silva this weekend.
Oh, right.
That's in Harry's backyard.
Yeah.
That's in, right? Isn't that by Harry?
Yeah.
Silva's plus 180. Paul's minus.
No comp tickets from Joel Solomon again. No comp ticket, Joel.
Didn't that change? Wasn't that number different like last week?
I don't know. Silva's been the underdog. I mean, plus 180.
I thought it was 140, and now it's higher.
Wow.
Yeah. I thought it was. I don't know if it was a. I thought I saw it.
I don't know what to do. I shouldn't watch it. I shouldn't bet
Listen,
it. I'm going to do
don't
both.
Bet it. Do not
I,
bet
I know,
this.
I know. I shouldn't.
Don't do it. It's stupid. It's going to go to corrupt judges. If this was a regular fight, I wouldn't bet it. But what did you? You don't even know who's like. If they want to rematch what they want with this Jake Paul, you have no idea what's going on with this.
I know.
Harry, would you even bet this?
No.
Yeah.
I'm too busy
Michael,
studying
what
European
we, belt. I mean, Jake Paul might be a better boxer than Anderson Silva. And he's what, got 18 years on him or something? What's the age difference here? Meatballs, what do you like here?
Is this fight 15. Definitely happening?
As far as
they still have odds
well,
for it.
I thought I saw something where some committee was reviewing Silva's health at the moment.
Good. Don't
Desert
know.
Diamond
Enough.
Casino, right?
Enough.
Is that where it's at?
They're gonna let Woodley fight him again.
There's a 22-year age difference. Silva's 47.
Woodley did make a comment, I think, on that.
Again?
That he would jump in?
I think so. It's possible.
Would this be the third time?
Was that comment, I'll never fight again? I hope that's what the comment was, because that was, I lost money on that. No, you got to, you can't bet this. I refuse to let anyone bet this. Babyface, don't even sell any t-shirts with Jake Paul's face on it. You got it?
This is a, well, if Mikey isn't watching this fight, I know it can't be good.
How much do they want for this fight?
I thought it was like $50.
Yeah, oh, Woodley, gosh, Woodley did say he weighed 193 and he'll be flying to Arizona today.
Wow.
Really? So that could happen.
Ridiculous. I mean, come on. Come on, so
still trying to find out.
They should
out.
Just settle this on Mr. Lister. Just
yeah. I mean, it was an article like 30 minutes ago that said that was like a rumor, but it's 100% happening.
Le'Veon Bell is on this card too, right? I'm seeing.
Oh yeah, who's Bell fighting? Uriah Hall. Oh yeah, Uriah
Hall. Yeah. All right. I'm still trying to figure out. You say it's $50.
I think so.
I won't be able to. All right, good. Thank God. I'll be at Baby Doll's daughter's wedding. I won't be tempted to watch this at all.
Yeah, we'll get it on your phone.
Nice.
All right. So good job, everybody. There you go. Parlay Kid, I'm jumping on your Sharp Tank. Yep. Action-packed week, Babyface. We got Harry Lai, right? We had another ho-hum Thursday game. And we're going to be doing Race to 10 soon.
I was going to say, the rumors are Race to 10 is coming back. And I mean, that's pretty exciting. Bri, I feel like it's only right Bri gets to get the first one. And
Bri starts us off.
It's
we're
going
to be doing Spotify Lives where we're going to be doing Race to 10. Let's find out what else we could do all in the first quarter. First to score, first quarter line, first quarter over under. That'll keep us busy for a while on various Tuesdays throughout the rest of the calendar year. All right, that'll do it. For Mikey Meatballs, for Babyface Joel Solomon, and the Degenerate Trifecta, I'm Sal saying so long and happy handicapping.